The numbers told the story, they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Hour number two of a numbers game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network, VSiN.com, the VSiN app, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV, all proudly brought to you by BetMGM Nevada. It's Gil Alexander. It's Kelly Bidlin, producer number nine, so much more than a producer in the house. Still to come here momentarily, we're going to talk about NFL awards. Pete Futak, college football, his thoughts on bowl season. JVT on the NBA. We got our power rankings still to come. Oh, we got to update those. That's going to be some change there in the 4 to 9 and 10 range, I believe.
Yeah. The 10th team, I've just given up on at this point.
10 is like, for
you're
sure.
Just choosing between teams that have lost the week before, it feels like.
Yeah. Pro tip, by the way, for the last hour. I want to do some cleanup here. Pro tip of the hour, last hour. Hey, Pepperdine makes the pro tip. They're not going to win the NCAA tournament, but don't overlook Pepperdine in college basketball this season. Finally, Matty Cox was aboard, full steam on my Pepperdine call. I mentioned they had three all freshmen West Coast Conference guys last year on the team. They're sophomores now. Talking about Maxwell Lewis, Houston Millette, Mike Mitchell. They are a sneaky team. They got Nevada tonight. That's a good barometer game for them. They're 2-point favorites. We'll see how that goes. But multiple NBA prospects on Pepperdine. Just be aware of them if you're betting college basketball. That's your pro tip for the hour. We do one every hour on VSiN across every show, so that means at least 20 every day. They're all available for VSiN Pro subscribers only at VSiN.com, where you could sort them by sport and by show. Can we show? I feel like we didn't get enough juice out of your Cheez-It bit there yesterday, or last segment. Yeah. This is Kelly Bidlin in his Cheez-It bedroom. Can we show that one more time?
Excellent work.
It was such a great job. Nice job, Michelle. I literally, like, Kelly and I had an exchange on text yesterday where I'm like, where are you? And he wasn't, like, really responding to me. I'm like, no, where are you? This was before me and Isaiah were in the window. I actually thought this was a bedroom. This is Photoshop completely.
Yeah. I like that Michelle has a picture of Isaiah somehow, like, looking in something.
Yeah, they had to take a picture.
That was, I guess it worked out perfect for this.
And then, by the way, the Mayo thing for the Duke Mayo Bowl, which is the Maryland-NC State game. It is truly one of the more disgusting things you'll ever see on radio. Do you remember on Primetime Action, Matt Brown legitimately, by the way, co-host of Final Countdown now with Stormy Bonatoni here at 4 p.m. Eastern, Monday through Friday. Matt Brown used to legitimately, and here's the thing with Matt, right? He's usually happy-go-lucky, jovial.
Oh, he is basically who you hear on air. Right?
Yes.
He is exactly that guy. Mess around, joke around.
Every once in a while, though, he will say something, and you think he's joking because that's what he does. And you're like, oh, my God, I think he's being completely serious. And the Mayo thing, he almost wanted to walk off set.
Oh, yeah, when this video played, I believe. I think it was for this one.
The disgusting one.
Yeah, this is the one. Matt almost walked off the set.
Okay, two questions. A, what is wrong with the woman eating the mayo? And then two, what's with the...
Swiss police officer, overlooking it?
It's with the European police officer on the right, monitoring.
I don't know.
And what is she holding in her hand?
This was some Guinness World Record.
It might be the most disgusting thing I've ever seen.
Yeah, it's pretty gross.
One spoonful and it's all over the ground for me. It's horrible.
I don't find mayonnaise gross. Like I'll eat it on things.
Are you kidding me?
But how many spoonfuls of mayonnaise could you eat?
I can't even process the thought of it. By the way, it was 0-0 at the half, so we hit the. Hit the first half draw in the Morocco-Spain game. They are now, they've now underway in the second half. 0-0.
Oh, boy.
Start. What's up?
I just pulled up NFL lines for the first time today.
What's the deal?
Lions 2.5 now.
Lions.
2.5.
Point.
Favorites.
Favorites over the Vikings.
Favorites.
Well, you're correctly waiting to make your Vikings bet.
I mean, no rush. Keep waiting.
No rush and no respect for the 10-2 Minnesota Vikings.
I mean, they are in prime teaser range, though, right now. Oh, boy. Oh, boy.
All right. Speaking of the NFL, want to go through some awards? Let's see where these starts. Look at the heat check on some awards. By the way, the Vikings, in terms of their 10-2 record, as we mentioned yesterday, 9 of their wins, all by, now it says 9-0, and now single score, one possession outcomes, 9-0 in their 10-2 record. And by the way, their point differential at 10-2, plus 10. It's incredible.
It is.
All right, MVP, let's start there. Patrick Mahomes is your favorite, minus 150. Tua checks in next at 5-1, even after his bad performance against the Niners. Jalen Hurts plus 550. Josh Allen, the only other person in single digits at 7-1.
These are off.
Those are off?
These are off. Those Mahomes are off. Plus 125. I think it is for from last week still.
Okay.
Mahomes plus 125, Hurts plus 175, Burrow 6-1, Tua 12-1.
That makes more sense.
Josh Allen 14-1, and then Geno 50-1. So only five guys under 14 or under.
I'm going to say there is not a bet there.
I don't know that there is right now either. I really do think it's probably down between Mahomes and Hurts.
Burrow at 6-1 is mildly interesting.
It is, Gil, but
yeah.
Like, I think I'd sooner bet Josh Allen at 14 over Burrow at 6, but I don't really know that I believe either guy's truly.
It's also
truly
Patrick Mahomes is hiding in plain sight. We never think of him with this. He should win it all the time, and he should win it this year. He's correct.
Yeah.
It's correct that he's plus 125, and Jalen Hurts is probably correct at plus 175.
I mean, look, we did it, actually. I believe those were the odds from last week. So if you were interested in Mahomes, he was minus 150 last week. Take one loss on the road at Cincinnati.
So maybe this would be your time to jump in.
Yeah, if you liked him before, I think now is a good time to jump in.
Actually. Unless you think they'll snake him with Jalen Hurts. I mean, and this gets back to this is a proper segue into offensive player of the year, which this is where it becomes problematic, right? Again, we've talked about this many times. We don't talk about it every day, but every time we do, we mention offensive player of the year is sort of the layoff of who doesn't get MVP. And Tyreek Hill is plus 180, and he's right to be. It's correct that he's plus 180. Tyreek Hill on the season, he leads the NFL in receptions and receiving yards. 96 catches for 1,379 yards. Again, he's 9 yards shy of the Miami Dolphins' all-time franchise record in yards.
Yeah.
Receiving.
Yeah, I'm glad I made that bet 2 weeks ago. You know, it was after Jefferson had a huge game, and he pulled ahead of Tyreek in this market for the favorite. So he'll drop down to about 4-1. I made that bet then. Glad I did, just because I didn't think we were going to see him at that number again.
But here's the problem again. So it's not a triple crown like Cooper Kupp had last year, because Tyreek Hill's not even close in touchdowns. He only has five. But 96 and 1,379 do lead the NFL in both categories. If Jalen Hurts doesn't win the MVP, right, this issue.
Yeah, I don't know.
So if they give Patrick Mahomes the MVP, which they probably should, you can't not have Jalen Hurts win anything, right? Or you can't have him not win anything.
I think you can.
What's wrong with my English this morning?
I think that, I don't know. So this is one, and I was going to bring this up when we were talking about this. I'm handicapping this, Gil, like it is not a quarterback-included award anymore. But
I'm just saying that's the fly in the ointment.
You got to have that in the back of your mind.
It's the fly in the ointment.
Like when we're talking about bets that we're going to make,
Not
once have we suggested actually betting on Jalen Hurts in this market this year. And I still wouldn't. But I understand what you're saying, and it could happen.
Let's put it this way. The reaction is it makes you not want to bet on it at all. At least mine. My reaction is that, because we've been led to believe that Tyreek Hill, based on recent results in this category, offensive player of the year, might win it. But now I don't know, because of the Jalen Hurts factor. You have to give him something, I would think. NFL defensive player of the year. This has shortened a little bit on Micah Parsons.
A fair amount.
Yeah, this is minus.
Mike was like a minus 1,100 or something like a week or two ago.
He's minus 450 now. Nick Bosa's plus 250. So it's gone from a one-man race to a two-man race. Let's put it that way. Nick Bosa had 3 sacks, I believe it was, against a battered Dolphins offensive line, though, on Sunday. Somehow that little detail gets lost in this mix. Everybody else, 25-1 or longer. Hey, where's Jason? That's a different category. I'm sorry. We'll get to that shortly. Micah Parsons minus 450. I have him at plus 650 from before the season starts.
Good for you.
Boy, would I hate to lose that now. Micah's appropriately the favorite, though, still. All right, how about defensive player of the year? Oh, excuse me, not defensive player of the year, but how about let's go to offensive. Oh, we'll go to defense rookie of the year first before offense? Okay, we'll do it that way. Defensive rookie of the year. Ahmad Gardner's minus 500, and Tariq Woolen is plus 450. Tariq Woolen, who now is tied for the league lead in interceptions after C.J. Gardner-Johnson is gone with injury. Aiden Hutchinson, the only other person in single digits at 8-1. Everybody else is 40-1 or longer.
We did get a tweet about this the other day asking us kind of, you know, guys, how is this not a bet basically on Tariq Woolen,
I think he's correct.
Yeah, having the tied for the league right now in interception leagues, right?
Mm-hmm, yep.
Interceptions. Yes, that is true. I would hesitate that you broke this down well a couple weeks ago of go look at his of what Sauce Gardner's doing in man coverage and some of the PFF grades and stuff on him. He's one of the highest rated corners in football right now, not just as a rookie. He's up there, period, in the NFL. So that's where it really becomes kind of the decision for some of these voters. Now, I tend to lean on the side of I think there are going to be enough guys distracted by just the number of interceptions that this race is probably closer than the odds indicate. But, I mean, Sauce should still be the favorite.
Those two things, exactly what you just said. Should it be minus 500 versus plus 450, Gardner versus Woolen? No.
Yeah, not sure about that.
Should be shorter. Is there an East Coast bias thing happening? Do we still live in a time where there could be an East Coast bias? I know the knee-jerk ought to be, of course not. We're 2022. There isn't such a thing. Yeah, there is. One plays for the New York Jets and the other plays on the end of the earth, according to East Coasters. So there's that. Sorry, Seattle. I didn't say that. I'm just saying what they say.
No,
so
I
think it should be shorter. Do I think Tariq Woolen flyers at this number are probably good bets based on value? Probably.
Yeah,
I just don't know if it gets home,
especially
though.
If you find something longer than this, right?
Yeah.
If you're finding a 5-6-1, no problem with that bet.
We'll do a couple others.
We'll talk Offensive Rookie of the Year later in the show. I think those odds have swung. It's a race in that market now.
We call up Comeback Player of the Year, too, at some point. We'll
yeah.
just talk about those out loud. We'll come back. Peter Futek on college football bowl season. His favorite bets next. Numbers Game, Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
A Numbers Game on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Back on A Numbers Game, live from the South Point Hotel Casino, tip of the strip. It's Gil Alexander, it's Kelly Bidlin. This is a tweet from a D-Gen Southern Gent. He sent us a Josh Johnson's Wikipedia page, a screenshot.
It's incredible.
Tampa Bay Buccaneers, San Francisco 49ers, Sacramento Mountain Lions. What
sure.
is that, arena?
Sounds like it.
Cleveland Browns, Cincinnati Bengals, San Francisco 49ers, Cincinnati Bengals, New York Jets, Indianapolis Colts, Buffalo Bills, Baltimore Ravens, New York Giants, Houston Texans, Oakland Raiders, Washington, San Diego Fleet.
AAF, I believe.
AAF, yeah. Detroit Lions, Los Angeles Wildcats.
XFL.
San Francisco 49ers, New York Jets, Baltimore Ravens, Denver Broncos. And now I guess San Francisco 49ers? Boy. Peripatetic, I believe is what they call that, Kelly.
36. Yeah. Hey, good for him.
Edward Lefevre. Gil, your use of the double negatives today is Pete Rose level. Thank you very much. I don't know what's happening to me. No one's happening. Pete Futek never uses a double negative. Oh, he's a Power 5 snob, though. From College Football News, it's Peter Futek. It's at Pete Futek, F-I-U-T-A-K on Twitter. How you doing, Pete?
All right, so you made me look it up while you were saying that. How much do you think Josh Johnson has earned in his career?
Oh, that's an even better
Great
question.
Less.
Because usually you have these guys who have they journey like Alex Smith, you know, he's not Aaron Rodgers, but I think Alex Smith made like $200 million. So how much do you think a Josh Johnson made?
Oh, enough to be a very happy man.
$50 million.
Do you have the answer to this, Peter? You're just asking.
I'm looking, and I think I got it here. It's not as he has to set a record for not only being on the most teams, but also making the least amount of money ever for being a quarterback at a professional level. Because if I'm seeing this right, he's only made like $8
million. Yeah, I'm looking at the same number you are. Oh, boy.
$8.3 million. That is, if that's right, that is so hard to do considering the minimum salary in the NFL now is, what, $775 or something?
So less than 20% of what Justin Verlander will make next year.
Hey, Justin Verlander is one life in a whole lot of ways there.
All right, Pete, how do you feel about the final committee college football decision? Obviously, Georgia and Michigan at the top, followed by TCU at 3, baby, and Ohio State at 4. How do you feel about that?
Can't argue with any of it. I mean, there's only 4 1-loss teams or undefeated teams out there, and they all got in. They kept with that. I'll quibble a lot with 5-on-down based on precedent, because if you put Ole Miss instead of you know, Alabama in those uniforms and that resume. They're not number five, but okay, whatever. We're ready for an expanded college football playoff. This is one of those years where you don't have a lot of real sure things outside of Georgia and Michigan here, because you do have, you know, 3 and 4 being rough. The only quibble I kind of have is in the process itself where, hey, Georgia, all right, you're the number one team. You get Atlanta, that's great. And congratulations, you get a rested Ohio State team instead of TCU. And that seems like Michigan catches a nice break there. But overall,
yeah, but don't you agree that the committee shouldn't be thinking about that at all?
Oh, they don't think about, well, what they shouldn't be thinking about is, oh, we can't have an Ohio State-Michigan rematch now. It should be 1 through 4. And I get it. You know, look, you know, again, better record. They overtime loss in the Big 12 championship. So I get it. TCU should be 3. But still.
disappointment in your voice, Pete. My God.
Well, because
I get
here,
it. They should be 3. Sure.
Well, because here's the problem. The college football playoff. In the 8 years of doing this thing, the undercard, we had the epic Rose Bowl, Georgia and Oklahoma Baker Mayfield, which was one of the all-time greatest bowl games ever. The other 7 undercard games have been decided by 17 points or more. They've been awful, all of them. And you can kind of see this coming. It's like, you know, it's the Star Trek, you know, bit on Saturday Night Live. It's the Eddie Murphy Star Trek bit where, okay, if you have Spock, Kirk, Bones, and Rear Admiral Johnson, which one's not coming back from the, you know, the planet they're going to visit? Well, that's TCU this year.
Yet, Peter, are you then surprised that TCU has taken the early money, that this actually hit 7, opened at 9.5, actually hit 7 at Circa, has settled in at 7.5? Are you surprised by that then?
A little bit. I mean, because the Michigan bounce back will come, because all the Michigan fans, are in a weird space right now. Because
I think you're right about that, by the way. I think you are right about that. The Michigan bounce back will happen.
Because all Michigan fans, because they all wake up and on you know game day, they're like, hey, let's bet on this. And then always pops up a little bit. They're all in a weird space right now because, yay, we're in. Oh, Ohio State's still in. We didn't kill it. This might still not be a fun year. But I think Michigan trucks them. I think Michigan just comes out. They might even lose. This is one of those games, take TCU at the halftime line, whatever that might be, and then you know how Michigan rolls in the second half. It somehow gains 400 yards on its first drive, and they just dominate second halves. So I think Michigan takes over and wins this relatively easily.
What about Georgia and Ohio State, the Georgia Bulldogs 6.5-point favorites?
I want more. I mean, that should say something. That's the better line is that game. But you let Ohio State back in. Look, there are 3.5 teams out there that have the same talent level. There is Alabama, there's Georgia, there's Ohio State, and there's the USC offense. So you've got the Ohio State team that's now going to get not just a month, but a month and a week and a half to rest and get healthy again. They're not going to get Jackson Smith and Jigba back. He's opting out for the NFL. Mm-hmm. But all those other parts are there. The running backs are going to be in place. And that's a team that got banged up a little bit late in the season and showed against Michigan. You kept it alive. Kind of like you and I argued about this, 2019 Alabama. Oh, it shouldn't be in at the 4, and then boom, ripped through it and won a national championship. 2014 Ohio State caught the break at 4, went through it and won it. I will not be shocked if Ohio State wins the whole thing. I think this is the national championship in the Peach Bowl.
Jeez, that's funny, Pete. I never remember arguing with you about anything ever. It's interesting.
Never. Never.
By the way, Jackson Smith and Jigba, talk about the draft. Oh, would I want to see that dude in burgundy?
What a weird draft! I want to see Kayshon Boutte, and he's coming back to LSU. This is going to be one of the greatest drafts ever. It is so loaded up top.
What player surprised you the most in the transfer portal yesterday?
I guess Justin Flo from Oregon. I know it's all about the quarterbacks, and DJ Uiagalelei is going, and Devin Leary's going, and so all those guys are going to find big-time spots. But Justin Flo is one of those guys who could absolutely be a starting linebacker for Alabama. I think he goes to either USC or Miami. Didn't do a lot for Oregon. He was always banged up, but talent-wise, that guy's the best of the bunch. But pretty much, and not hyperbole here, out of the 700 guys who are in the transfer portal, 200 of them ping Deion. I think legitimately 200 of them ping Deion. So you saw it's not going to be what USC did this year, but man, you want to talk about a team that's going to be a thing. Deion bringing the energy. He just hired the head coach of Kent State, Sean Lewis, who brings that flash fast offense, which goes 1,000 miles a minute. I don't know what this is going to be, but it's going to be a whole lot of fun in Boulder, Colorado.
You and Galilei feels very Florida to me, by the way.
Oregon would be my call.
Oregon is a good call also. Yeah.
Any of the Pac-12 teams at this point, I would not be shocked with him. But, you know, you never know. Spencer Rattler was a West Coast guy all along, or then went to Oklahoma and ended up in South Carolina. So depends on where your NIL money's coming from.
Yeah, UCLA could be an option. It really does depend on when your NIL, where your NIL money is coming from. It really does.
For all of us, yes.
For all of us, by the way, yes, for sure. Army-Navy this weekend. Navy favored by 2.5. What do you got? Any thoughts?
I mean, yeah, Navy. I mean, if the problem with this game always is, you know, this is the truth. Throw out the record books because it doesn't. Navy's just better. I mean, this is not the Army team we thought we were going to get. Navy's just far better defensively this season. They don't have the explosive offense. If Army's offense is a tad better, but, man, I would go with Navy on this. What's point total 33? It pains me to always say it on a line that low under. All these Service Academy games, they all tend to go there. We talked about this earlier in the year, the Air Force Army game. Historically, is every year it's 10-7, no matter what, even if it goes into overtime. I would like the under on this, and I'll take Navy.
All right. Of all the bowls, what's the line you want to exploit the most in all the bowl season?
Well, we're talking like it's, at this point, it's like it's NFL preseason. Mm-hmm. Because we don't know. I mean,
so
like,
true.
Because we don't know who's opting. And here's where if you can take a guess and hit it right, the lines are going to change fast because the opt-outs are going to come. So UCLA, they're probably going to lose all their skill guys in this. If DTR sits out, I guess that Zach Charbonnet is going to sit out. Probably Jake Bobo's probably going to be out. So I'm against UCLA. I'm blanking on who they play at, which bowl game that is. But UCLA is one of the teams I'm looking at. And I loved Boise State against North Texas before this all. And they, okay, so they get to the conference championship game, North Texas. They lose to a good UTSA team, spirited game, and let's fire head coach Seth Luttrell. So these teams are in a little bit of disarray, of coaching disarray, and Boise State's rock solid set. I love Boise State, whatever this, I think it's 7.5 last time I checked.
UCLA, by the way, playing Pitt in the Sun Bowl. They're 6.5 point favorites.
Without Keaton Slovis. So again, good luck figuring these games out with all the opt-outs. But if you can figure out the teams that are going to be pretty much whole, obviously those are the teams to go for, and always go against the teams that make a coaching change. If it doesn't work, not your fault, but just because they always change that way.
Yeah, I made about 5 plays. I'll give them after the break. But, yeah, what you're saying, the macro thing is, and we'll talk about this, you know, a number of times between now and the games themselves, it's all about information. It's all about information. It's gone from psychology assessments to now just information.
We're betting on it. We're betting on the exhibition season. Yeah. Crazy stuff.
Peter Futak, everybody. Thank you, Pete.
There you go.
College football news. We'll come back. Our NFL power rankings. I'll tell you the 5 college bowl plays I've made. It's a numbers game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
A numbers game on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Before you make your next bet, that is, be sure to visit VSiN.com to check the current betting splits data.
Splitting bets.
Isaiah tipped you off. Want to know where the money and bets are moving every game? The betting splits page is updated with DraftKings odds every 10 minutes so you can see changes in all the action. Find out where the public is betting based on the number of tickets and where the money does not match the public opinion. You can check out not just today's action, but future events as well. Betting splits, yet another way that VSiN is here to make you a smarter, better year-round. Check out today's betting splits for every game at vsin.com. Hit the first half draw here at plus 125. Trying to get the plus 320 full game home. And that would be a very fine morning of soccer betting. And then I'm doing the same thing in the second game between Portugal and Switzerland later.
What a thriller this one's looking like.
Oh, you got to love nil-nil soccer.
Hey, man, make those draw bets and step away.
And just do a show.
Just do a show.
Look up every 5 minutes and see that it's still nil-nil.
Collect your money at the end. That was like the Bucks under last night. I'll just have it on the background.
Yeah.
Collect my money at the end. How about this one for you? I just saw this tweet come down, Gil.
Mm-hmm.
2016, Lamar Jackson wins the Heisman Trophy. 2022, Stetson Bennett is a Heisman finalist. They were both born in 1997.
Wow. That's awesome. All right, let's do some more of this.
Why do we have multiple star quarterbacks this year in college football that are like 25 years old?
Remember, what was my man's name at FSU at your alma mater?
Chris Winkie.
Chris Winkie.
Yeah, he was like 28.
He won the Heisman at 28 or 29 years old. 28, I want to say.
Yeah.
Well,
like,
yeah, because he's
like a mission, right?
Yeah, because he's a grown man.
those ones always are funny. But yeah, you're a grown man playing against children.
We get tweets at Biddy the Book. Mike Rouse talking about the Josh Johnson career earnings. So Josh Johnson career earnings, $8.3 million. Career passing yards, 2,270. Chase Daniel career earnings, $41 million.
Oh, it's good to be Chase.
So $33 million more, roughly, than Josh Johnson. Career passing yards, almost 600 fewer.
Great tweet.
1,694.
Great tweet. Chase Daniel, one of my personal heroes.
Now that is
two first names. Sit there with a clipboard.
What a life that is. And then once a year, it's a Chase Daniel game.
Yeah.
Well, whatever team, New Orleans, San Diego, or Los Angeles, excuse me, the Chargers, whatever team.
The one funny part about him is, isn't he one of, like, the preseason goats? Like, isn't he, like, a preseason, like, ATS machine, I'm pretty sure?
Is he?
Which means, like, you care that much, but you never see the field.
1,694 career passing yards, 41 mil, baby.
I saw the same numbers that Pete saw. And whoever's tweeting in, you're probably seeing the same numbers on Josh Johnson. I don't know if I believe it. I feel like it's still got to be low. Like, that we're low on him for some reason.
I don't know.
$8 million, that's it?
I think it's probably accurate because there were a lot of seasons. Well, like I said, he's playing in all kinds of leagues. Chase Daniel's been in the league. Josh Johnson, while he's been with those teams, it is not.
Oh, it was practice squad cuts and stuff like that. I get that. Yeah. But even just to sign with a team for a year, I mean, it's a few hundred grand minimum.
Ed Blust, Gil, you've inspired me to learn how to cap tennis. Can you point me to some of your key metrics you look at without giving away the secret sauce? Of course, will you do an Aussie Open pod? Thank you. Yes, we will do an Aussie Open pod. Hopefully with both Drew Dinsick and Dan Weston, for sure, on the Beating the Book podcast. We did all the slams last year. And the metrics, again, that I use, I talk about them all the time when I do these, but people get bored of the numbers. I'm talking about serve percentages. I'm talking about return of serve. I'm talking about tiebreaker numbers. I'm talking about break point numbers. All of that, both on three-month, or I should say all on six-month and year basis. Sometimes a little more recent form as well, but that's generally what it's about. These are a couple on the offensive player of the year markets. Matthew Mayberry, isn't Devontae Adams offensive player of the year at 50-1 way too high? He's got 12 touchdowns. Probably, but I'm not rushing to play it.
Probably, but I mean, well, you could say so many things about that team, right? The team definitely is a part of this. If the Raiders were making a push for the playoffs, then yes, that's a great bet, and his number's probably not 50-1. It's probably 20-1.
Here's another one. This is from Chris Schneider. If Tyreek Hill becomes the first wide receiver to surpass 2,000 yards in a season, wouldn't that be enough of a narrative to make him offensive player of the year?
Absolutely, yes. Those are the kind of things that I based my bet around. Right, it's the fact that he's chasing that. It's the fact that he's going to be down in the Dolphins' record books as the all-time leading receiver by a mile with some of the guys, some of the wide receivers that have been on that franchise over the past several decades. I think it is. Those are things that I'm absolutely basing my bet around on Tyreek.
Well, he, like I said, he's not going to get to the Triple Crown. Cooper Kupp had that last year. He had 16 touchdowns. He's not going to get that. But the 145. 145 receptions from Cooper Kupp last year, an NFL record, and the 1,947 yards receiving, both of those in reach for Tyreek Hill. And let me just say this again from an analytics standpoint. Again, Aaron Schatz, who, by the way, will be a guest this week. We have to get Aaron Schatz on. We're at the quarter poll, so it's an Aaron Schatz week. But Aaron Schatz says very, you know, confidently that when a big-time wide receiver goes from one team to another, usually the detrimental effect on the team that he leaves far exceeds the positive impact of the team that that player goes to.
Yeah.
Now, in the case of Devontae Adams...
Absolutely true.
Absolutely true. Much more of a detrimental effect, I think we would say, on the Green Bay Packers than a positive one until recently, right until the last couple games, for the Raiders. But generally speaking, that has held true. Tyreek Hill has completely bucked that theory. The Chiefs, of course, being one side of that where they've been just fine. But the real thing is the impact he's had on the Dolphins is just you cannot put it into you can't quantify.
You really can't quantify it. I think that's going to be something a lot of voters look at. It's look, and you were talking about comparing him to Cooper Kupp numbers. Do you remember how much people were freaking out about his numbers last year?
Oh, yeah.
Besides, I plus 180, I think, is still a good bet on him.
Besides the touchdowns, he's Cooper Kupp this year thus far. And again, as you said, Mark Clayton, 9 yards shy of Mark Clayton's Miami Dolphins franchise record already for total yards receiving in a season. Let's do some power rankings. Let's plug it in. Plug it in.
Some movement on these this week.
Yeah, got some movement. No movement at the top. Chiefs remain number one for me. Bills remain number two. Chiefs even after a loss to the Bengals. I'm not going to knock them for that one loss. And the Bills...
So, yeah, I didn't either.
Bills figure out a way. They're number two. Now they figure out a way. They win pretty handily in the end. The Eagles go up to number three. They've been in the top three most of the year. They briefly fell out. They're back in it. They're at number three.
Yeah, would you have them out for 1 week? You put the Niners up there for 1 week, yeah. Right?
And now it gets interesting because now we have teams that no longer have quarterbacks short-term, long-term to deal with. So the Cowboys, who I've always said again, maybe they're not one of the top three teams, but they probably have the best unit on the field in that defense, and particularly the front seven of that defense. They got some worries in the secondary, but that front seven makes up for a lot of warts behind them. They're number four, the Dallas Cowboys. The Bengals are five. That's the big riser, having beaten the Chiefs. Bengals are number five. That's the first time they've entered the top five for me this year. Dolphins and Vikings remain at 6 and 7. Even though the Dolphins lost, they lost to the Niners. The Vikings remain at 7 because, well, somehow they just keep winning. But the Niners is the drop. And I know we talked about this yesterday. We put a clip out on social. It's like, Jimmy G to Brock Purdy is only 3 points? That was my instinct. That's what Chrissy corroborated via his lines. I just don't buy it in reality. Niners are a big drop for me. Ravens somehow remain number 9, even though they're teetering as well now with Huntley in and Lamar out. And then I finally changed my number 10. I put the Jets in for the first time. Their defense is really good, but, you know, have at it at number 10.
Yeah, yeah. If we flip over to mine, I'll start right there because that's where I put. I put the Jets number 10 as well.
Oh, there you go.
I mean, it's been a rotating door the past, like, 4 weeks at number 10 when we've done these. And at this point, it's basically just picking a team that lost the week before. So it's like, who had one of the better losses? Well, I guess it was the Jets. So I'll put them number 10. Ravens at 9 for me. Look, I think if there were better teams, I'd be rushing to put them ahead of the Ravens right now.
Me too.
And that is that's even not with nothing to do with the Lamar Jackson injury, right? Lamar Jackson could be healthy right now. I'd have major concerns about this team going forward. Dolphins 8. I didn't drop the Niners below them, Gil, just because we kind of saw Brock Purdy for most of the game and take care of the Dolphins.
I just think Tua had a really bad game against a really good defense.
I think he did, but I think that says a lot about the Niners to me. I don't know if I'm one of these guys that's going to sit here and say, look, anybody can be back there for quarterback from them, and they're going to be a threat, to win a Super Bowl. But the skill position players they have and the defense is so good that even a Brock Purdy might be able to lead them quite a ways. Vikings, I still got at 6. Don't move at all. Cowboys, don't move at all. Bengals, I moved up 3 spots as well. Basically flipped Bengals and 49ers this week. Bengals at 4. Look, I do think they are a serious contender for a Super Bowl here. Eagles 3, Bills 2, Chiefs 1 all remain the same from last week.
So am I correct in saying we have the exact same 10 teams in our top 10? And no team was more than one spot off from the other, from my rankings to yours.
Yeah, I believe so.
That is ridiculous. That's how static this league is and how soft the middle is.
Yeah, we got a couple teams that are one spot off. Yeah.
That's it. Come on. Quite a league. That's why it's so tough to bet. JVT NBA next. Numbers Game Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Numbers game proudly brought to you by BetMGM Nevada, the king of sports books. BetMGM in general, not just Nevada. Unleashing the spirit of Las Vegas with BetMGM rewards. Every time you make a wager at BetMGM, you can earn BetMGM rewards points that you can redeem for online bonus credits like free bets. It's never been easier to join the action on the new BetMGM app, featuring a fresh redesign with improved features and quicker navigation. Planning a trip to Vegas, are you? Well, you can also convert your BetMGM points into MGM rewards points that you can use towards dining, shows, and hotel rooms at over over 20 MGM resorts located on the Las Vegas Strip and nationwide. BetMGM Rewards, sports betting's premier loyalty program, including exclusive offers, incredible experiences, and valuable perks when you wager with BetMGM. Sign up with BetMGM or log in today to take advantage of BetMGM Rewards. Eligibility restrictions apply. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. Must be 21 years of age or older to wager. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. It's Gil Alexander. It's Kelly Bidlin. My college football plays, which I had promised.
What'd you bet?
I bet five of them already.
You bet five games before college football guessing lines today? Come on, man.
Yeah, I'm sorry about that. Shows a lack of respect that I apologize for.
It's a very serious segment.
Well, first of all, I bet your Florida State Seminoles, given the points against Oklahoma.
Nice. What number?
I got seven. I didn't bet
them.
What's
that, nine now? Something like that?
Is it? No, I think it's seven. I love Jordan Travis. I think he's awesome. And I'm with Dr. Bob. I think they are probably the least talked about really good team in college football. Remember, he had them power ranked number six. They're taking on Oklahoma. So I got Florida State. I think they're going to roll. I took Oregon State laying the points against Florida because I knew, had a feeling that Richardson was going in the transfer portal. And I think Florida is just going to mail it in against Oregon State. I grabbed Kansas State plus the points against Alabama. You know how this goes with Alabama every year and them just not showing up for bowl games that don't matter. We've seen it so many times. I did take Clemson because I don't think Tennessee's going to have players. And then I grabbed TCU, which is of no surprise to anybody. Pro tip of the hour, by the way. Let's get that in as well.
Kind of got something to do with what you're talking about.
Does it? Okay. Yeah. One of the best ways to bet bowl games is information-based. I would argue it's really kind of the only way these days. Look for news where players might be heading to the draft, transfer portals, coaches leaving, all of that. Bowl season was always a sort of amateur psychology thing. Oh, are they settling for a bowl? Are they not going to be happy playing in this bowl? Now it's that on steroids. Now it's just, I don't even know who's playing. No one knows in some of these. And so you really have to be vigilant. It's less about super-duper college football knowledge than it is about just who's playing. And remember, this was a Christian McCaffrey, Leonard Fournette started thing some years ago when everybody, remember, they were like, yeah. I mean, two of the best backs in the country at their respective times were like, we're not playing at the same year. We're not playing. And it was, some people made their heads explode. They're like, how could this possibly be? And our reaction here on a numbers game was, I'm surprised it doesn't happen more often. And now look where we are. It's your pro tip for the hour. Be very vigilant with that. We do one every hour on VSiN across every show. So that means at least 20 every day. They're all available for VSiN Pro subscribers only at VSiN.com, where you can sort them by sport and by show. So yesterday, Kelly, I'm at home after a numbers game. I look for our buddy Reed Fowler, who now does Amazon Prime betting stuff. I wanted to see him do some stuff. Mm-hmm. So the Kerry Champion Show was on, and Reed was doing betting cut-ins because I just wanted to see what it was all about. And so he does, you know, Reed knows his betting, so he's doing some very intricate, you know, really super smart betting thing. And then they go back to Kerry, and Kerry throws up a Magic Johnson tweet. And we know about Magic Johnson tweets, which are, let's say, the opposite of Reed Fowler doing a betting segment. And so Magic goes, yep, Anthony Davis, he's the front runner to be the NBA MVP. And I'm like, well, not according to actual betting markets there, old Madge. But
250-1 a week ago, though, Gil, chop a zero off of that now.
That's why I say but. However, this is Anthony Davis's point totals. This is since November 14th. You ready for this? 37, 38, 30, 37, 25, 25, 27, 44, 55. Lakers in action tonight. We bring in JVT, ladies and gentlemen. Jonathan Von Tobel at Me JVT. He's our senior basketball analyst, our senior NBA analyst, I should say, and the host of Hardwood Handicappers, co-hosted by very young Kelly Bidlin once a week as well. JVT, how you doing, man?
I'm good. I was enjoying the college football bowl talk for a minute. I love college bowl season.
All right, have you bet anything yet?
You and I share a play. I took Kansas State with the same thought process that you had, right? Alabama's going to have a bunch of guys. And I think it's also very important to note, Nick Saban's also very pro-draft. Like, you've heard him say it quite a bit. So, like, he's going to tell a lot of these guys that have a shot to get drafted that they should go and get ready for the draft. So, and Kansas State emotionally wants that. They want to win a Big 12 championship. They want to win a big bowl against Alabama. So I'm with you there. I actually bet some of the semifinal, too. I did lay it with Georgia, and I was slow on the trigger to take nine there with TCU, but we'll see if that gets back to it in the next, 24 days or whatever it is.
Yeah, and I'm guessing people shouldn't be in a rush to bet TCU. because that but Michigan money will probably come back in it, well, for sure.
Especially later in the waiting period. So
yeah. What about Anthony Davis? Should people bet him at 25-1 or whatever they can find right now?
No, I mean, I don't think so. Like Kelly had it. Like if you got him at like, you know, whatever it was at the point, 250-1, I was texting with like Mitch Moss the other day about it, considering this run that they've been on. You know, if you wanted to take it at that, I would not fight you on it. Here's the thing, though. Like, this has been a run for the Lakers that has been very good. They have won 8 out of 10 games. They've covered 7 of them. However, 3 wins have come against the Spurs. 1 of them have come against the Pistons. Like, you know, this is it's a soft stretch of the schedule, and they deserve credit for getting a win over Milwaukee. But I don't think this is something that is going to give us a sign of things to come. And so are they going to win enough games for him to be considered as a legitimate MVP candidate? And I would say probably not. But we get all hyped up and in really passion, right? Impassioned when we get these little hot streaks from teams and from players. But at the end of the day, I'm not sure if the team resume is going to be strong enough for Anthony Davis to actually win that award.
And the team resume matters, as we talked about earlier in other NFL awards. It really does in the end.
Oh, yeah, especially with the NBA, right? I think what the lowest, I believe, was Westbrook, the lowest seeded MVP that we saw. They were a 6 seed. If I remember correctly, a couple of years back when he had the triple-double for the first time in the season, whatever it was, like you got to be somewhat up there. And I mean, sure, maybe the Lakers grab a 6 seed and that's the bare minimum. But when you're looking around and you see a team like the Warriors, who, yes, lost last night, but have a guy like Steph Curry who's playing at the level that he is. When you see what the Boston Celtics are doing with an MVP candidate like Jason Tatum, let's say the season happens where they grab the 6 seed, is whatever Anthony Davis is going to do on a 6 seeded Lakers going to upend an MVP candidacy of Jason Tatum on a 1 seeded Celtics or a 2 seeded Celtics or like a 2 or 3 seeded Warriors team? I would say probably not.
Probably not. And it should be noted that the year that Westbrook won it, wasn't that the year he had like a million triple doubles? So it was like a total outlier.
For the year.
Yeah.
Yeah, he averaged a triple double. And also the underrated part about that season for Westbrook, we should note, is he actually had historic clutch numbers. So like, you know, these games that were within 5 points, 5 minutes more to go. He was incredible in that season too. But yes, that was that year.
Yeah. The AD numbers are really impressive. And look, there's only a certain amount of guys in the league that are capable of kind of doing the things that he can and therefore putting up the numbers that he can. But if you even just look at the shot volume the past two games, you're talking about 57 field goal attempts in the past two games alone. It's just not something that's sustainable.
Okay.
Well, and that's the other part really quickly. I mean, he's not the most Iron Man player, right? Like, right. There's a good chance he misses some time.
Any thought on the Lakers-Cavs game? Cavs favored by 5.5 tonight? Only 3 games in the association tonight.
Yeah, only 3 games. But I would say the 5.5 would tell me that there's some inkling that Jared Allen's going to play today. And so that's what I wrote about. You know, Allen's missed the last 5 games for Cleveland, Gil. And if Allen's going to be out there, that changes a lot. If you look at this 10-game run that the Lakers have been on, a ton of stuff has come within 4 feet of the basket in terms of getting to the free throw line. They've been getting to the free throw line a bunch because they're pushing teams in the restricted area, you know, because they're big. And they have Anthony Davis and LeBron James. But if Jared Allen's going to come back tonight and improve that rim defense for Cleveland, that's going to change a lot of things for what the Lakers want to do in this game. So I thought that it all depended on whether Allen was going to play tonight. If he's going to play tonight, the Cavaliers might be the side there, but you know how it is. In the NBA, you want the information before you act. So I sat back and waited. If Allen's going to play, if that number doesn't get past that 5.5-6 mark, then I think it's worth a look for Cleveland.
Anything Pistons Heat or Mavericks Nuggets?
No, so for the Pistons, that's another injury report thing. Jimmy Butler popped up on the injury report yesterday with a sore knee. He ended up playing. He's a really good candidate to rest, so I would make sure that he's not going to be out there. And then for Mavericks and Nuggets, I will say the one thing is the Mavericks have been playing pretty good basketball. They're on the second leg of back-to-back, and Luka's usage rate is really up, so you want to make sure that he's not going to be on the injury report either. But I don't know if they're turning things around, but this is a matchup that if Doncic is going to be out there, it works out really well for them. They should be able to take advantage of the Nuggets defense. A lot of mismatches out there. If Doncic is going to be available, I think I'd be tempted to take those points there with the Mavericks.
All right, 30 seconds, JVT. Anything in any awards market that you have either bet since the last time we spoke to you or are thinking about perhaps making a wager on?
No, I think when I spoke last, I mentioned Steph Curry at 10-1, if I remember correctly. That's the last thing that I've gotten in on. Right now, I'm just waiting for the awards market to kind of settle and see what it is. But for this point right now, I'm going to be status quo and just see what happens.
You see that video of Steph Curry with those long distance shots? Are those, was that real?
2 of them were real, from what I understand.
Yeah. 2 were real.
2 were real.
Yeah.
Oh my God! Is that 3-quarter? This football throw on the basketball into the hoop. 2 were real. Morocco and Spain draw. Love it. Going into added time, or extra time, I should say. Draw for the 90 minute. Thank you, JVT. Appreciate it, man.
Good to talk to you guys as always. Thank you, Gil.
Jonathan Von Tobel, our senior NBA analyst, again, host of Hardwood Handicappers, also co-hosted by the great Kelly Bidlin once a week, wherever podcasts are available. We've done all we can do. The Lombardi line is next. He's got thoughts, I'm sure, on the NFL and beyond. A lot of quarterback intrigue and that Tom Brady comeback last night. Unbelievable. Lombardi line is next. Enjoy from VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.